Once again, time to bring on our good friend Arthur Schwartz. It is time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio and the Robin Hood Radio Network. Good morning, Arthur. Thanks for joining us again today.
Oh, it's always my pleasure to be here with you and everyone else. I don't know. With you, first of all, it was my birthday, and I decided for my birthday I was giving myself a reprieve from kitchen duty. So for a whole week, I didn't cook. In fact, it was the week my cleaning woman had cleaned the kitchen. I left it. I love seeing my kitchen when it's spanking clean, and it was for a whole week. And I didn't have to do dishes for a whole week. But then I could not wait to eat my own food. That's how it goes. It was nothing during that whole week of going out to eat that I had to repeat. I didn't go to my favorite place. I used the week, by the way, to explore around Brooklyn a little bit. So I come home, and I don't know. I guess one of the places that we do go to sort of regularly in Brooklyn is an Azerbaijani restaurant. And we go there mainly because, well, a lot of reasons actually, but one of the big deal things here is grilled meat. And they have a number of options in that department. But Mr. Bob Harnett cannot go there without having what they call winter fun. He loved the name, but then we get the salad, and it is what we would call, we being Americans, if we know anything about this, we would call it Russian salad. Now, you have to understand that the Azerbaijanis were part of the Soviet Union. And there's sort of a melding there of some Russian, well, supposedly Russian dishes with their own Azerbaijani food. And of course, this restaurant, being in Brooklyn, caters to a lot of Russians. We have a very large Russian community here. Not always the nicest people. Am I allowed to say that?
Sure,
And that was
absolutely.
lo long before they invaded Ukraine. We had their number here in Brooklyn. So, in any case, back to Russian salad. In Russia, now I went to the Soviet Union in 1988, and back then, it was a food trip at a time when there was no food in the Soviet Union. And every table that we went to, certainly in Russia, maybe not so much in not in Georgia, where they do have good food, but also in Lithuania, where the food was limited, Estonia, where the food was limited, the tables would be literally set with a bowl of this salad in the middle of the table, whether or not there was anybody sitting there. So you would go into the restaurant, you would look at empty tables with this mayonnaise-based salad browning over as it stood there and oxidized. It was disgusting, as was, I would say, 90% of the food we ate in the Soviet Union. The other 10% was in Georgia, where we ate well. Anyway, so that's what they call salad Olivier, and it is like the most standard dish in all of, I would say, Eastern Europe, and even some of Western Europe. They make very, very good insalata russa, Russian salad, in Italy. It's very popular. I wonder if they don't even know what it is. It's just insalata russa. In Russia, it's salad Olivier because it was created by a chef, not Russian, but either Belgian or French, depending on who you believe, but in any case, not Russian. His name is Lucien Olivier, and he was a chef to one of the czars. Can't seem to find out which one. And then he opened a restaurant, L'Hermitage, which is named after the Royal Palace, in Moscow, and a Shishi French restaurant. And he served this salad Olivier, named for himself. What is it? It's a lot of things, but it always has four things. I've decided, reading a million zillion recipes and doing some research on this, it always has potatoes diced a half inch in half inch dice. It has carrots in half inch dice. It has peas whole, although I did read a recipe where somebody cut the half. I'm not doing that. And mayonnaise. It is a mayonnaise-based salad. By the way, I don't know why, but in Lithuania, they call it vinaigrettes, and as if it was made with a vinaigrette, but it's not. It's made with mayonnaise. So the additions after that can be cubed ham, pieces of chicken. Also, everything is always cut into, because it's a chef recipe and requires some time chopping and dicing. A kind of a chef dish in that respect. By the way, I heard this line, I don't even remember from who, but recently this cook friend said, I love my knives and I like spending time with them. So I like spending time with my knives, I'm thinking. And I had no trouble one morning dicing up carrots, potatoes. I use ham. Then there's the pickle element. You don't want a sweet pickle in here. You want a sour pickle. Could be, a kosher sour. It could be cornichon, which I usually keep in the house. Those are the little sour French pickles. Little, they're gherkins, but they're sour, not sweet. But, here in my report, and then you can add egg, hard cooked egg if you like. You could put mustard in the mayonnaise if you like. I don't. Dill in this salad, I like. Didn't have any the other day, but I was going to make this again, so I'm definitely going to put some dill in. So here were my proportions. For 1 pound of potato, I used Yukon Gold. It ended up to be two medium potatoes. Diced up, it came out to 3.5, 4 cups in that range. It was like a nice mounded 3.5 cup. And then I did 1.5 cups of cubed carrot, also cut in the same size, and 1.5 cups of peas. How I did it was I boiled the cubed potatoes first in plenty of water. They only took 5 or 6 minutes. I tested it by taking out one of the bigger pieces and making sure that it was tender. But be careful. You don't want to have mushy potato at this point. So you want to, they don't want to be firm either. So this is the only part of this recipe that requires some care. But keep an eye on the potatoes and take them out with, I used a spider, my new favorite utensil, because I didn't have to drain it and I wanted to reuse the water. So I took out a slotted spoon, will do. Take the potatoes out, put them aside, and now put in your diced carrots. I feel take about 5 minutes to get tender. Taste the piece and check on that. Take them out, put them in with the potatoes, and then finally, all in the same water. By the way, I did put a big pinch of salt in the water to begin with, but I did not add much salt. And then finally, you get the peas. I think frozen peas require practically no cooking. So right out of the freezer, I put those in the water that left in the pan. And I would say by the time it came back to the simmer, peas were cooked. Taste the pea and see. And drain those and put those in. And dice up your ham, put that in. If you want a hard boil, I used about 6 ounces of store-bought ham. I have the butcher, not the butcher, the man who sells slices the cold cuts, to make give me one slice 1/4 of an inch thick. If it had really been 1/4 of an inch thick, it would have been close to a half a pound. But in fact, he did smaller than a half an inch thick, and I could have used more. We tasted it later, and we said, 6 ounces may not be enough. I would prefer 8 ounces of cubed ham. And then if you're going to put egg in it, I would do two hard-boiled eggs, also diced up, and that and the pickle. So I don't know, no more than 1/4 of a cup, a half a cup, depends on how you like pickle. To put the cornichon or diced pickle in there, and then mayonnaise. Now I used 1 rounded cup of mayonnaise for all of that. Which was a lot, you'll see it's a lot. You can even figure it out. If it's almost 4 cups of potato and then 3 cups of other stuff. That's right there, 7 cups. You can have 8 cups of Olivier. It's a lot of Olivier. So at least a cup of mayonnaise. Now, the potatoes tend to soak up mayonnaise, and also this salad is better, I think, the second day, which just makes it perfect for barbecues, picnics, buffets, and it's very useful, I have to say. I mean, you can think of it as sort of fancy potato salad. You could have some other vegetables around it and call it dinner. So the second day it's better, but you might find you need to add a little bit extra mayonnaise because the potatoes tend to absorb some of the mayonnaise, and you don't want it. You want it creamy. I've read recipes where you mix mayonnaise with sour cream, and I like that idea. I make a macaroni salad where I use mayonnaise mixed with sour cream. You might want to just add the sour cream the second day. And by the way, a folding motion is, I think, the best for mixing this up. Meaning, take your spatula or your spoon and get to the bottom of the bowl and turn it over instead of stirring. You want to fold a motion. So I love salad Olivier, and I like playing with it. And I've got another ingredient you might like to add is diced apple. And that always gives, I think, a really fresh taste to it. Salat Olivier, or you could say Russian salad. But that brought me to Circassian chicken. And I haven't cooked this in a long time. It's another dish that the Russians claim but shouldn't. Actually, the Circassians are from the Caucasus Mountains. And I'm not sure what the relationship is with Russia these days down there. But I bet you they don't like the Russians very much. And the Turks also make Circassian chicken. And really, it's like Olivier, like Russian salad. It's traveled a lot. Now, Circassian chicken is truly nothing but poached chicken with a walnut dressing. And the walnut dressing in the end, to me, always seems somewhat like mayonnaise, even though it isn't. But let me give you the recipe for the walnut sauce, because the chicken itself is whatever. You can even do this with rotisserie, though I'm never happy with rotisserie chicken. It's always well done for me. Let's put it, Brian, well done. But the walnut sauce is really easy, and truthfully, I could just dip bread into the walnuts or other vegetables in the walnut sauce. So you use about, I don't know. I always used to make this with white bread. So let me give you the proportions in white bread. About 4 slices of ordinary white sandwich bread. You can get it without sugar in it, all the better. And that is enough. This is a thickener. Bread is just a thickener. For 1 pound of walnut heads, that's 4 cups of walnuts. This, by the way, this makes a huge amount. And it's good for dressing 2 chickens if you're doing a buffet dish, or you can keep it in the refrigerator for a number of days so that you can do different things with it. So, let me say, in the bowl of your food processor, put 4 cups, not 4 cups, let's put 3.5 cups of walnut halves. I'm going to save some for a garnish later, and at least 4 cloves of garlic, maybe a little more. A very small onion. Now, when I buy onions, I make sure to buy a couple of very small ones because I know I use them sometimes. But if you don't have a very small one, how about a half of a regular small one? Really not a lot of onion. And then you're going to need an ingredient that you may not find easily. I can. They sell it literally around the corner, fancy supermarket. It's Aleppo pepper. Who knows where Aleppo pepper is coming from? Probably Turkey, because it's also like Turkish pepper. I think it may be interchangeable. You can't find either, which is possible. Just use 2.5 teaspoons of your regular sweet paprika. Add a half a teaspoon of cayenne pepper. That'll simulate the sweet, hot flavor of Aleppo pepper. So here's what you've put in your food processor. 4 to 6 slices of white bread. Oh, I do soak the white bread in a little bit of the broth, a little bit of chicken broth, the result of cooking the chickens. You don't have to use that. You can use water even. So soften the bread, put it in the food processor with the walnuts, with the garlic, with the onion, and with a tablespoon of Aleppo pepper or the combination I gave. And pulse, pulse, pulse until it's fine, and then let it grind into a paste. And adding a little bit of chicken broth as you go. You want in the end for it to be the texture of heavy cream or even heavier than heavy cream. And what you do is you toss your chicken, which you stripped off the bones, into this sauce and lay it out on a platter, coat it with more sauce, decorate it with the walnuts that you've reserved, perhaps if you care to, some very nice pomegranate seeds. I don't know, in your supermarket, do they sell them already out of the pomegranate? They do in mine, but we have an audience for these things.
I was just thinking, when you make, when you, I make a salad, and I guess I do know what Russian salad is. Sometimes it'll be bib lettuce, sometimes it'll be iceberg, and then I just start putting stuff in it, like mayonnaise, like chickpeas, like cut up ham and stuff like that. I guess that's a form of Russian salad, right?
I don't think so.
Okay.
The essentials are peas, carrots, potato, and mayonnaise. So if you start out with that, I'll give you a Russian salad. But
Okay.
that seems to be the essential of any Russian salad, no matter what the recipe. And I spent a lot of time looking at Russian salad recipes. And I have to say, there's a very famous Russian writer. Her name is Anya von Bremsen. I think she grew up in Moscow. She's definitely Russian. And she wrote this important Russian cookbook called The Russian Cookbook. Please to the Table is the name of the book. Please to the Table. She says in the book about salad Olivier, otherwise known as Russian salad, that it is so ubiquitous, she sort of doesn't have any regard for it. So she serves it in tartlet shells, which I thought was a little ridiculous. Very Russian. The czar would feel at home in Donald Trump's apartment or Mar-a-Lago. He has Russian tastes, Mr. Trump. You understand that everything in Russia is gilded, and in order for it to be important, it must be gilded. They gild a lot of lilies in Russia, including salad Olivier, which is I don't give it to them. I give it to a French chef who worked for them. And the Circassian chicken, which is a world-class recipe stolen by the Russians.
All right. A little bit of
I
Russian.
got that off my chest.
A little bit of
Meantime,
Russian.
half my daily repertoire is Russian or Russian Jewish, though, Kasha Varnishkas.
All right. Well, we
Oh, nice.
got some Russian history here today.
Well, listen, those are two very good dishes for the summer. I'm preparing everybody for Memorial Day barbecues. They're both great dishes for Memorial Day parties. The Russian salad goes with anything grilled. And the Circassian chicken is for those who won't eat meat, I guess. But I don't know. I always found it to be a very good party dish.
Arthur, it's always great.
All right, take care. Take care of yourself.
Will do, and you too, and I'll speak to you next week.
Take care. Bye.